Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by Barry Trammell, here to recap the Thunder's 136-118 loss to the Atlanta Hawks on Wednesday night at Paycom Center. Some before the game were calling it the Barry Trammell Invitational, and it certainly lived up to the hype because, Barry, we had two Norman Northians, two Bedlam rivals, really impressed in this game, and it made for a fun storyline going into it, and it was even better than expected. Trae Young had 30 points in the first half, finished with a game-high 41 points, and Lindy Waters the third, 7 of 13 from three-point range. He scored a career-high 25 points. The two of them, you know, they've battled with each other. They had a nice moment on the court after the game, hugged it out. Barry is a proud son of Norman. The floor is yours.
Well, I mean, maybe I'm forgetting somebody, but that's the only, I don't think so. That's the only two guys in Norman history to make the NBA, and they light it up on the same court. You know, two vastly different storylines. One's an NBA superstar. One's a fringe player just trying to carve out his path. But it was pretty dang cool. You know, I grew up in Norman. I went to Norman High. My daughter went to Norman North. My granddaughter went to Norman North as a freshman, has transferred to Norman High. Most of my friends from who were on the teaching faculty at Norman High transferred to North when it opened. So I got a huge, you know, I got a huge connection to both schools. So it was a very proud night for Norman. And I live about a mile and a quarter from Norman North. So it was pretty dang cool to see that.
And really the whole state, I mean, because obviously the Norman connection is cool, but then, you know, one is a freshman phenom and OU, a top five pick. The other is a four-year Cowboy.
Right, yeah.
And makes it to the G League. So just a really cool day for the state.
No doubt about it. And, you know, I talked to Mike Boynton last week, I guess it was. Ran into him in Stillwater, and we talked about Lindy, and he's pretty optimistic about Lindy's potential to stay in the league. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty optimistic about Trey's ability to stay in the league. So,
one of you is making a bolder statement than the other.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool, you know, that they got to, as you said, it's a statewide thing because, you know, Lindy was always a very popular Cowboy. You know, even early in his career, I remember TV broadcasters doing OSU games would say, you know, Mike Boynton says, or Brad Underwood says, this Lindy Waters fellow was really valuable and the guy they can't play without. But, you know, I remember that game down at Tech. Shoot, I can't remember what year it was. Let's see, Lindy was a freshman in 17, so 17, 18, 19, or 20. So it might have been the 19 team that made the finals. OSU took them to overtime down in Lubbock, and Lindy had a big game. And to see him persevere and get on this stage like he did tonight, you know, it's one thing. It's one thing to score 23 points. That's, you know, that's, it was 23. 25. Yeah, 25. So that's cool. But, I mean, on 9 of 15 shooting, you know, that's pretty solid basketball. So,
well, and we talked the other night, like, it's really hard to tell what's real and what's not, you know. But 7 of 13 three-point shooting, that's real. That's hard to do against any competition.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, Trey had a phenomenal game. He had 19 in the first quarter, I think, and 11 in the second quarter, and then 11 in the third quarter, and then didn't play in the fourth. So he had a monster.
He scored 41
game
without playing in the fourth quarter. His career high is 56. I mean, if this was a tight game, maybe he could have gone for that. Just he was just killing the Thunder. Obviously, their defense isn't what it used to be. They're missing half the team and most of their defensive stoppers. But yeah, Trae Young gave them fits. It was actually Trey's first win in Oklahoma City. As a Hawk, he had been 0-3. So he had talked about that before the game at shootaround, that he wanted to get a win back here. So that was pretty cool. Just to read you Lindy's comment from after the game, he said, two kids from Norman meeting back up in the league. It's amazing. Of their conversation after the game, he said, I haven't really got to have a conversation with him for a while, at least since high school. That was all love. And Barry, I think it's like not a huge secret that maybe they, you know, they weren't necessarily tight friends or saw eye to eye, but tonight they came together. And I thought it was notable that Lindy said, we haven't really talked since high school. I mean, they played against each other for a year in college, haven't kept up in the few years since, you know, Trey left OU. So tonight that was cool to see from that perspective.
Yeah, and, you know, there's all kinds of high schools across America that have two players in the NBA, but there's not a bunch of them, and there's not a bunch of public high schools, and they're not.
Yeah,
and
most of them are basketball prep schools.
Right, prep schools or private schools or, you know, a place that all-stars migrate to, not just a public school in on the plains of Oklahoma. So it's a really cool story. And if you're keeping score at home, the answer is no, they did not win a state championship together. Trey's junior year, which was Lindy's senior year, they lost to Putnam West in the state finals. Even NBA talent isn't enough to get you over the hump sometimes. But it was a cool night. It was a cool night in Oklahoma. And I thought of Lindy's family, and, you know, I sat in their living room. It would have been January of 16. January of 16, I think it was. He had been suspended from school for a silly Instagram, or maybe it was a tweet. I can't remember what it was. Some social media post where he posed with, what they call it, an air gun?
Yeah.
Airsoft
or pellet gun, something like that.
Something stupid. Instead, it's just idiocy from a 17-year-old. But school policy says you're expelled. And he got expelled, and his dad enrolled him up in Wichita. I think it was Sunrise Christian, on a quick deal. But then they got to talking and appealed, and eventually he got back into school and got to finish out the season. So it was a big mess, and you could see sort of the anxiety in Lindy, who didn't talk much. Lindy the third didn't talk much then or now, really, but you could see the anxiety and sort of almost fear in his eyes at that point, because he wondered what was going to become of his, not just his basketball career, but perhaps his life. And, you know, to think of that night, and then to see him tonight scoring 25 points against the Hawks and Trey out there, it was a really cool night.
Well, and we went from talking about Lindy of, oh, this is a cool story, you know, local kid gets a shot on a two-way contract. There's a difference even between that and scoring 25 points in a game on 7 of 13 shooting, and three straight games now, Barry, he's made four or more three-pointers in three straight games on 10-plus attempts in all of those games. So Mark Degnault said, hey, we know he can shoot. What we really want to see is him being able to find these shots and get those attempts up. And he's, you know, getting a quantity of attempts without sacrificing the quality of them, and he's just really shooting the ball pretty well. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you think Lindy Waters will be on this team heading into next season?
I think he'll be by what do you mean by on the team?
Have at least a two-way contract.
Yes. Okay. Oh, this team or another one. I mean, I don't even know how the two-way contracts work.
You can be on a two-way up to 2 years.
If you're on a two-way,
still be a two-way.
All right, if you're a two-way player, it's not like being a G leaguer in that anybody can come and grab you if you're in the G league.
That's right. Another team can't claim you if you're on a two-way contract.
Okay. So, yes, I do think Lindy Waters will be in training camp with the Thunder with some level of security, whether it's whether it's a two-way contract or whatever, I don't know. But he has shown enough now. Let's see, seven. He's 42 of 117 on threes. That's, you know, I don't know what that is, but it's, you know, 35-36%. I think he can shoot better than that. He's got a decent, he's got more athletic ability than I remembered or thought. He had.
How about the crutchy to Waters alley-oop tonight?
That was a cool, and you know, that wasn't textbook alley-oop. It's a little bit of a off-centered pass. He sort of had to reach out and grab it and throw it down like he was a, you know, a big man or something. So I don't think he's a great defender. He may not even be a good defender, but from what we can tell, he's not getting torched. So I think he can learn even more. And, you know, I think, you know, when I wrote that deal when he got signed, you know, that the Duncan Robinson story, you know, he's got at least a chance. Shoot,
there's a place for
him. And he's got at least a chance. And here's the deal. Duncan Robinson didn't fill it up his first chance, that first partial year with Miami. So, you know, the same thing holds true for Lindy. I think Lindy will get another shot.
Yeah, and Lindy was a higher-level player going into college because Duncan Robinson started, what, D3, I think, before he transferred?
Yeah, that's exactly
to Michigan. Let's talk about another G League. Well, I said let's talk about another G League player. The Thunder exclusively played G League players tonight. But let's talk about another two-way player from the Blue, Olivier Sarr. He also had a career high tonight, 17 points, 9 rebounds, 6 of 9 shooting. Barry, this might be more on the case of, okay, someone's got to get those points, someone's got to get those rebounds. The Thunder's only playing eight players out there, but what do you see from Sarr?
He's got a surprisingly good touch from outside. I don't see a lot inside. I don't see a lot that makes you excited that he might be a backup center in the league. Whereas, you know, Moses Brown, who we never really thought was a, you know, a long-term potential player. But you saw stuff out of him. I mean, he'd have 20 rebounds or he'd have 4 dunks a night. You know, he sort of impacted the game. Outside of Sarr throwing up a, you know, an occasional three-pointer, you don't really sense that he's in the game. So I'm not as excited about his potential.
Moses Brown also had like a 4-inch height advantage.
Right, he's 7 foot two or 7 foot three. How tall is Sarr? 6'11"? 6'10"?
I think he's listed at 6'10".
Okay. You know, Moses Brown 7'2 or 7'3 and looked it. But in other words, I'm not
I'll
as excited.
I'll correct myself. Sarr's listed at 7 foot. That might be stretching it a tad, but he's listed at 7 foot.
I'm not as excited about Sarr as I was Moses Brown, and I wasn't excited about Moses Brown. Now, if Olivia Sarr was from Norman North, maybe I'd be excited about him. So let's just be honest here. Table of truth time. But
France is no Norman North.
Yeah,
so.
No. Although we have a sister city. Norman has a sister city. I think it's in France, if I'm not mistaken.
If it's Niort, N-I-O-R-T, then Niort probably, then maybe that's it, Barry, because that's where Sarr's from.
I haven't thought of that in forever. Maybe Norman's sister city's in Japan. I'll have to look that up. Norman, Oklahoma.
Do sister cities, like, do anything with each other? Like,
yeah, they do things like, you know, similar proclamations with the city council, that kind of thing. So, you know, they don't sign international trade compacts. You know, we're not sending them tortillas from Terra Humera or anything, I don't think.
That would be an act of diplomacy.
Yeah, I would think so. But I don't know. Let's funny. See. Norman, Oklahoma, sister city. Sister cities of Norman, Oklahoma. Well, here you go. Clermont-Ferrand, France. It's an hyphenated. It's a university city in central France. So there you go. That's pretty cool.
Olivier Sarr might know something about that. Yeah.
Norman's got 4 sister cities. Why do we need 4 sister cities?
What are the others?
Sika, Japan. Colima, Mexico. and Arezzo, Italy, which I've been to Arezzo, Italy.
That's pretty cool.
That's the one that's got the OU satellite campus on it.
OU and Arezzo.
Yeah. Did you study abroad when you went to?
No, I didn't. I kind of wish I would. I had some friends. I had a really close friend who went to Arezzo, though.
It's a cool town. It's a really cool place. It's a town a little smaller than Norman, but half the city is ancient. You know, it's the buildings from 1,000 years old with streets no wider than a bedroom. Then the other half looks like downtown Norman in 1968. So seriously, I mean, they had a Singer sewing machine store. So I just thought it was a completely charming place. I really did.
That's good. Barry, one of our favorite Italians was unavailable tonight. I was sad to not see Danilo Gallinari on the floor.
Yeah. It's probably best for somebody like me, and maybe you, I don't know, whoever, and maybe everybody, to not seem, it's a little bit, what's the word, melancholy to see, you know, Chris Paul's coming in Sunday, Gallinari, Schroeder, you know, you think back to the 2020 season and how cool that team was. Then the pandemic got us. We had the 4-month layoff. Yeah. Finish it up in the bubble.
I feel like we'll always have a more fond just vision of Schroeder, just because that was such an outlier, really. I mean, he had big scoring seasons in Atlanta, but he was so efficient that year for the Thunder. And Gallinari obviously complimented those guys well. Shea was like the third point guard on that team. And remember, they had those three-point guard lineups who were the best three-man grouping in the NBA. So, that was pretty fun. This is a big, like, reunion stretch, or Oklahoma ties coming up. You had Trae Young tonight. You've got Cade Cunningham coming in, and then you've got Chris Paul coming in. So, all pretty fun ones.
No doubt about it.
No Trae Mann tonight. Still out with a hamstring strain. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, his second game back, he played 16 minutes off the bench. Maladone had 18, 8 and 4. Roby had 14 and 9. Barry, anything else Thunder related that?
Well, the defense was abysmal, for crying out loud.
We haven't even talked about the game, really.
Yeah. Well, I think, did Atlanta make 13 of its first 16 shots, I think it was, something crazy.
Yeah, they were 10 of 14 from three to start.
In the first quarter, Atlanta was 15 of 19 in the first quarter and might have missed its last shot. I'll look at that. But, yeah, the defense was just abysmal. There's not any question about that. Yeah. But I don't know I don't know why I'd expect anything else.
I should have mentioned that earlier, because we did see Thunder history tonight. 85 points is the most points the Thunder has ever given up in a half.
Really?
Yeah. The previous high was 82 points. Remember when the Pacers came in here at the end of last season and blew them out? So not even the Grizzlies in that 72-point loss had
They had a shot at 90 in the first half. They slowed down a little bit scoring-wise. But I had my eye on that, and
it was great. They were making everything.
Yeah, there was not much defense being played. It was open threes and easy drives to the bucket.
And just like Kevin Herter was 8 of 10. Bogdanovich played well. Your good friend TLC was back in town.
You know, what do you think happened to him? Everywhere he's gone, they've played him and used him, and he's been semi-valuable. And he comes here and he gets in the doghouse and never gets out. Wonder what that was all about. It's a Billy Donovan deal, I guess. I don't know. I'm not saying Billy was wrong. Heck, he may have had justification. But
yeah, but the defense was just abysmal. And the Hawks got up by 34 points in this game. Barry, this made me think, because I thought – you know, someone said during the game, like, do you think this is going to get Grizzlies bad? And I was, you know, chances are no, because that's the worst it's ever been in NBA history. But I thought it was, you know, could be a 50-point loss or something like that. And it really put it into context. The Hawks were up by 34 points. It seemed like it was an absolute massacre. And it made me think, that's not even half of what the Grizzlies beat the Thunder by. Like, it's, to put a 72-point loss into context, it's just crazy that that happened.
That seems like forever ago. That Memphis thing.
Yeah. But this one was ugly, and then the Thunder actually outscored the Hawks in the second half, so it wasn't bad. Barry, how about this? So, first quarter, 42-24, palindromes of each other. We were all saying that word a lot today. Second quarter, 43-34. You flip those, it's the same score. Halftime score is 85-58. So first quarter, second quarter, and halftime score were all palindrome scores of each other.
All right, I saw that, and I was fascinated by that. I have a question. I'm very good at sort of solid math, deep math. I'm totally
you're,
lost.
You're good at no. You carry us in the math department.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
This would you call it a triple palindrome? Is that what you'd call it?
Yeah. I know what you're going
to
ask.
If you have a double palindrome, does that automatically
does it have to
mean
be a triple?
Does that automatically mean, like, if you have a palindrome in the first quarter or first half, first quarter and second quarter.
First quarter and second quarter.
Does that mean you automatically have one at halftime?
Okay, well, let's just... Here's the thing. I asked somebody the same exact question. I'm terrible at math, by the way. It's always been my weakest subject throughout my whole life. But I asked someone that same question, and we thought about it. I don't know, but let's just make up a score. Say it's... If it would have been...
Okay, 31-13.
31-13, yeah. And then name a second quarter score.
Well, that'd have to be something realistic. So let's go
32-23.
That's a good one. Okay, 32-23. Well, then the final is 63-36. So
wow.
There you go. So I think that's so.
I wonder if anyone's ever discovered this. Or
I
maybe
do not
making
know.
A mathematical discovery.
This is literally the closest I've ever come to feeling like the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, it feels like we figured out like a matrix of the universe or something.
No, I'm like Leonard. I'm like Leonard on the Big Bang Theory. I've discovered something of semi-usefulness to mankind.
That's fascinating, though, because... Yeah, I don't know. I just wouldn't think that logically that would be the case, but you can't argue with a two-set sample size. You just can't argue with it.
We're going to do another one just for fun.
Yeah, do another one.
Okay, 43-34, 54-45. Then the score is 97-79. That's it. If you have a double palindrome, it's automatic. You're going to have a triple.
There's surely like a name for this phenomenon.
84-48. 61-16. Let's get crazy. 125. 64. So, no, 145, 64. So, it has its limits.
Yeah, the digits have to be lined up.
You have to have... Yeah, you got to stay in single digits. Yeah, if you get
that's
over...
It's so weird that that would be a rule.
Yeah. It's, no, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Because when I wrote that and when we were talking about it, I thought, well, how crazy is it that not only the first two quarters were a palindrome, but the halftime score is a palindrome, and now I feel dumb because that.
I wonder if this is an achievement somewhere on the level of pi, 3.14, whatever.
I feel like we should publish like our findings.
Yes, or maybe just call a math professor.
It just
he might tell us
that's
this
mind blowing.
Yeah, he might tell us this, and the you know, the GI Bill will get us enrolled in class. Maybe that's what he'll tell us.
I wonder if there's ever been an NBA game that has had palindromes for all four quarters.
I don't know.
No, because like some of them are like impossible, because you think about it, it can't be. I don't even know what I'm saying now. Like, if you score 19 in a quarter, no one's going to score 91 in a quarter. So
no, but I saw a half. I saw a half. Maybe my favorite half of Thunder history, when the Thunder outscored the Rockets 70-19 in the second half. This was in the Harden era in Houston.
That's crazy.
And Thunder was terrible in the first half, but they outscored the Rockets 70-19 in the second half. Rockets scored 9 and 10 in the two quarters. I need to find that game.
Yeah. So I feel like I need to place a call to like the Elias Sports Bureau and see if they've done any research.
Oh, they don't. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. You're going to have to go to a man. You got to go to a university. You got to go to a think tank.
I'm afraid of math professors. I can't talk to anyone mathematically inclined.
I wonder if this is more basic than maybe we thought. I mean, I wonder if, like, keeping in the spirit of the
subject line. It doesn't seem basic.
What if we called Norman North's math? Maybe Norman North's math department. They might be able to tell us.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be some sort of rule that explains it.
Now, that's where I get lost in math. When they introduce rules, that's where they lose. They lost me. You know, if you're sticking with numbers, but when you deal with rules, that's when I said, you know what? I'm migrating to the humanities.
You're good at doing math in your head, though. Like, when you were calculating Lindy's three-point percentage, like, I mean, I could give you a ballpark number, but I would just, like, guess based on the two numbers rather than actually doing the math.
Most of that's due to my fascination with baseball batting averages from, you know, the early 1970s. You had to sort of get with the speed, get with the program in math, or you could get lost in baseball 50 years ago. So I applaud baseball for helping me there. Yeah, I think I made my first B in math as a junior in Algebra 2, and I was wise enough to say, you know what? The train is slowing down, and this is a good time to jump. And that's what I did.
I got to tell my math story. You had to have, based on how I tested or whatever, I had to take at least one math class in college. I had to have one credit of math class. And my math class that I took was Introduction to Logic, which was taught in the philosophy department, and it counted as a math class because I picked anything that had nothing to do with numbers. So I did a lot of, like, if not that, then this or whatever. I don't remember, you know, some of the logical things that I solved. But those are the depths I went to avoid numbers.
Yeah, I don't. I can't blame you for that one. I cannot blame you for that one.
Okay, well, that was fun. I feel like the listenership of this podcast is going to explode, given that we've found a new mathematical theory. Not even a theory; we've proven it. We'll have to find out something for it to be called. Maybe we'll discuss that next time on the Thunder Buddies podcast. But for now, thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back with you Friday to recap Cade Cunningham's return to Oklahoma when the Thunder host the Pistons.